All right, let's all find our seats, please. And I've been telling you that, you know, in order to be a disciple, it takes work. And I know I told you, but it is certainly worth repeating. It does not take a lot of work to walk in that door or sit in the chair. Now, I'm glad you walked in the door and sat in the chair. And so it doesn't take a lot of work to come in here and sit in a pew or a chair. It doesn't. What's the work? I mean, really, what's the work? You know, I had an email from a person who emailed me from friends from mine and Sissy and some others in this church. It doesn't matter who it was. And I got an email from an individual who is a friend of friends who are our friends, who we haven't seen in probably, I don't know, Sissy, what? Years. Long time. And out of the clear blue sky, I get an email to the church, to me, friends of the friends of the friends. But you got that? A friend of the friend of the friends, who I haven't seen, asking me if I do a wedding for them. Okay, do a wedding for them. A friend of the friends of the friends, who I haven't seen. And I kind of want to say, well, here's the neat thing. The friend of the friends of the friends, guess where they live? Franklin Park. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? So I want to say to the friend of the friends, see you in church. And the day you walk in the door, a day I'll talk to you about marrying your child. How many say that'd be fair? Would that be a fair deal? That'd be a fair deal, right? Fair. But how much effort do you think it's going to take for them to walk in the door and sit in a chair and they live in Franklin Park? Bigger than you think. Because you know why? Because they wouldn't have to call the friend of the friend of the friend if they were already sitting in a chair. Would they? They'd already have somebody to call. Ain't that something? And being a disciple takes more effort than walking in the door and sitting in the hard plastic chair. Being a disciple takes discipline. Disciple, this, it comes from the same root. Right, principal? I'm right on that, right? I'm checking it out. Disciple, discipline. It comes from the same root, right? In order to be a disciple, they must be what? Disciplined. Disciplined. To take work? Yeah. Yeah. Because you can go to church on Sunday from 10 to 12, but that doesn't make you a disciple. A disciple means you're on duty how many hours a day? 24 hours a day. It's how you live your life. It's what you do with your life. A discipline. And I told you that one of the greatest disciplines that you have to have is prayer. And I told you last week that the discipline of prayer, well, the first attribute of it is that you have to come to the Lord in faith. And I told you last week that there is prayer that is acceptable and prayer that is unacceptable. And I know you probably want to say to yourself, well, Pastor Tom, that doesn't make any sense because the Lord is going to hear my prayers. So that's true. But doesn't mean he's pleased. Doesn't mean he's pleased. And so as a disciple, you have got to learn the discipline. True? And you might want to know, how come, you know, we're spending all this time on discipleship? Because I have heard a lot of times that people say to me, Pastor Tom, we need discipleship. We need to learn how to be disciples. And you know what? That's why I'm not bringing you a Mother's Day message. I'm not. Because you heard it 1,000 times. I could go to the Proverbs woman. You all know the Proverbs woman, right? How many know the Proverbs woman? I could go right there. I could do it right now. Sits at the city gate, and her husband is blessed. I'm not going there, because that don't make you a disciple. We're going to continue working hard. Now, who still wants to be a disciple? Want to be a disciple? Go take some work. Go take some work. Now, the second characteristic of prayer that is acceptable to the Lord. What's the first characteristic? Coming in faith. Faith what? Faith that he heard me. Faith that he can do it, and faith is that I am important. The second characteristic of prayer that is acceptable to the Lord is a prayer that must be offered in humility. You have to come humble. And for some of us, that needs some prayer right there. To come humble before the Lord takes some prayer, right? Fact is, it says in Scripture that unless we come as a little child, unless we come as a little child, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. Won't see it. Now, yesterday when I was up here doing a concert up at Trinity Lutheran Church, at Help Trinity Lutheran Church, Tammy was there and I was there, and Yoshika was there and Mike was there, and we had a bunch of musicians there. My grandkids were there. And the one I want to tell you about is James, baby James. Baby James, he's 18 months. And he's in his little stroller, his umbrella stroller thing, right? And when he saw Grandma and I, Sissy and I, what do you think he did? He saw us, and what did he do? That's what he did. Now, what does this mean, church? Pick me up. He's humble. Get me out of this chair and hold me. He's humble. He can't get himself out of that chair. He needs somebody to pick him up and hold him. Right? And I was holding that little guy, and he kept pointing to somebody. I finally looked at, he's pointing at Jacob, right? Jacob had a little Capri Sun, a little drink box thing. Guess what he wanted? And he let somebody know he wanted that. And guess who he let know? Me. Because what? He can't get that by himself. And so he let me know that he wanted one of those Capri Suns. He humbled himself. He asked, who? Me. You do not receive because you do not ask. And I'm holding that little blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy. And I said, you want a juice? Mm-hmm. Guess what he got? Because why? He asked. And he asked in humility. He said, you better get that for me, Pap. That's not what he said. But he didn't have to say too much at all. Just let me know what his need was. That make sense? We had three grandbabies up here yesterday, too. We had Layla, Selena, and Jacob. And they wanted to go up to the carnival where I was playing music. And they wanted some stuff. And so guess who they asked? Nana. And Nana, you took care of that, didn't you? Nana, pulled out some money out of her purse. And she took care of that. They do not receive because they do not ask. Now, if they said to her, Grandma, you better do this for me. Grandma, you better do this for me. You think Grandma's going to do it? I can tell you right now, Grandma's going to not do it. Would you? They got to say what to you? Please. And then, they get it. Right? In fact, you went to the Mac machine and got much more money out, didn't you? You got what? A couple times, yes. And so, you have to come humble. Now, listen to me, church. Listen to me. A child does not have an agenda. You got them. A child doesn't have an agenda. A child doesn't come with some preconceived notion. A child comes what? Innocently, humble, seeking. We got the agendas. How many got an agenda in this room? We all got an agenda. Oh, we got agendas. Don't we got agendas? Hey, Lord, see, I'm coming to ask you for this because I want this, which leads to this, which leads to that, which gives me this. Oh, we all got an agenda. And see, a child doesn't have an agenda. A child just what? Asks. There's no plan. There's no plan. There's no presupposition. There's no future event. They want what? Whatever it is they want. When do they want it? Now. They know they need it, and they're coming to you, and they're asking. How many of you in this room, if a small child came to you and you had the means to request, to give the request, and they come to you humble, just looking at you just with dear eyes, how many say, how much you need, kid? We do it. When we do it, well, God wants to do that too. But he hates the proud heart. Not cool. Not cool. You better. Oh, yeah? Really? That's how you think this works? Is that how you think this works? I don't think so. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, as we learn some humility. I'll have you turn to the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 9 to 14.
Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Now, we need to take a look at this passage of Scripture. Now, you know, we can relate to somebody in this story. But which one is it? Which one can we relate to? Let's take a look at it. I can absolutely tell you, I am not an adulterer, an extortioner, and I am not unjust. I try to be fair with everything that I do. I'm not a bad guy. How many can say that about yourselves, too? Come on, be real. How many can say that about yourselves? We're pretty much okay, aren't we? Really? Truly? I mean, when you go to somebody and you say to them, where are you going to go when you die? And they say, heaven. And they say, yes. And you say, well, why do you think you're going to heaven? They say, because I'm a good guy. Well, you know what? They're probably right. How many? Now, you're not going to want to respond to this because you're going to feel like it's some kind of like ego trip. But how many are good people in this room? How many are not so sure if you're a good person? Okay, Tammy, let me square away with you. You're a good girl. Now, remember, did I ask if you were perfect? No. Now, do you make mistakes? But how many of you are pretty decent people? Do we have a room full of decent people here? Any of you go out there and kidnap a kid last night? Anybody rob a house? Did anybody plan on blackmailing somebody in extortion? Oh, I got one on you. Well, let me check with your mother. She's here. Is she a good girl? See? A good girl. Yeah, exactly. And the deal here is that we could relate. We could relate to the Pharisee. Really, truly, we could relate. I could pray this way. Lord, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I thank you, God. I'm not cheating on my taxes. I thank you, Lord. I'm working hard to try to support my wife. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not cheating on people. I thank you, Lord, I'm not out there committing adultery on my wife. I thank you, Lord, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a rapist. I'm not a thief. Lord, I'm a pretty nice guy. Unlike that guy in the jail I just saw yesterday. Because that guy, right? You know one of the hardest kind of people I got to deal with is pedophiles. Pastor Ed, I don't want to hardly talk to you about this, I don't think. Because, you know, Pastor Ed obviously was an officer. Thank you for your service, by the way. We talked about you last week when you missed it. We talked about you a little bit. I was down at State College and I did the Pennsylvania State Police thing with all the officers who died. And he was one of those guys that sits in a car in the middle of the night for $15 an hour, you know, waiting to go walk into some place and risk his life. Say, thank you, Pastor Ed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But you know what? When I sit across, you know, they call me on the phone and they say to me, hey, we got somebody. He's asking for a chaplain. And you go down there, right, as a chaplain to the police station or the county jail or whatever. And you're sitting there talking to somebody. They tell you about what they just did to a little kid. They just want to adjust their attitude a little bit. Right? You want to say, shut the door. Just give me a couple of minutes with this guy. He'll be better when I'm done. But the reality of it is, guess what? He is as important as me. Right? Is he less? Fact is, he might even be what? More. Right? And so in this parable we're talking about, we pretty much can relate to the good guy because we're good guys. We could say that. Now, I would love to be able to tell you that that doesn't happen in the church, but I can't tell you that, or I'd be a liar, then I would be off the list. I'm here to tell you that we do have some Pharisees in the church. Now, this is probably going to break your bubble. Clyde, you might want to turn that off so you don't hear this. I don't know. We got some Pharisees in the church. You know how it works? Christmas Eve especially. Oh, we got some Christmas Eve. You know how it goes like? Who do they think they are? Coming in here, and I don't see them all year long, and they're sitting in my spot. Do you even believe this, Karen? That is your chair. I know where you're going to sit. I put your name on that chair. Karen's on the third one over in the middle in the second row. I know that. And Christmas Eve, she could come in 5 minutes late, and guess what could be happening? Somebody is sitting in her chair. And she goes over, she goes, whatever. It's the way it works, isn't it? We're Pharisees. We're Pharisees. Who gives you the right to come in here on the Sunday brunch and eat first? Well, I ain't seen you all year long making anything. True? Do we have them? We have them. We have them. Oh, we got them. And so the question is, are we coming to the Lord humble? We need to come to the Lord as the tax collector came. And he said, I am not even worthy of being in your presence. How many could speak that too? It's difficult, though. It's difficult because we have the tendency to compare ourselves to who? No, we're not going to compare ourselves to God. Who says that? Who said we're not going to compare ourselves to God? I see a lot of people, but you understand, that's who you're supposed to compare yourself to. That is the one. That is the one. How many of you call yourselves a Menyan or a Womanian? Yeah, you don't compare yourself to Menyans, it's Christians. I do not have to be like Michael.
Don't want that.
You see, I handed him a softball, Ed. What are you doing with it? Boom, right out of the park, right? Right out of the park, right? I don't need to be like Mike. I need to be like who? So I don't want to compare myself to him. I don't want to be like him, good-looking guy that he is. I want to be like who? So if I'm going to be like him, I must compare myself to who? Him. Not him. Him. And so I already asked you, who wants to compare themselves to God? Oh, no. Well, who else are you going to follow? Right? And here's the danger. If you compare yourself to Ted Bundy, how many of you are pretty nice guys? If I compare myself to Jeffrey Dahmer on a hungry day, you heard that, Clyde, huh? I mean, if that's how many of you are pretty good guys, right? When you compare yourself to fellow man, guess what? Most of you are doing what? Okay, right? Most of you are doing okay. Most of us in this room would not hit somebody with a car and race on down the road, would we? No. I'd be willing to bet if I lost $100 out here in the parking lot, $100 bill, I would be willing to bet it's going to walk in this room. Somebody say, who lost this? I know that. And so when we compare ourselves to our fellow man, guess what? I thank you, God, I'm not like him. True? And the publican, the tax collector, was saying, Lord, I am so unlike you. And there's a difference. The Pharisee was comparing himself to who? Him. And who was he comparing himself to? The Lord. And guess what? You compare yourself to the Lord, you better be humbled. You better be humbled. True? Now turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 34:18.
The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The Lord draws near to those that have a what? Broken heart. Isn't that something? Sometimes we feel exactly the opposite. When we have a broken spirit or a broken heart or a contrite mind, guess who is near to us? God. Fascinating. Because see, some people won't pray unless they feel strong enough to pray. Guess what? It's opposite. It's opposite. Which means when you are so broken in your heart and so contrite and low, Lord, there's no way that you would ever want to spend time with me. That's when He is the closest. When you come to Him and say, Lord, I am such a messed up human being. Oh my gosh, Lord, I don't even know what's going on with me. I am such a mess. Guess what He does? He's right there. Conversely, Lord, thank you so much. I love me. I have not made a simple mistake in 2 hours now. And I am such a perfect person. I thank you, Lord, for creating me so special. There's not another one like me. I am so good. The Lord doesn't like that. Is He going to be near you then? There's no room. You're so full of who? But see, I gave you another softball. You were thinking, weren't you? No. I'm so full of who? Me? There's no room for who? Him. And when you empty yourself out, you pour the vessel out and lay it bare on the street, Jesus comes in and fills you with His comfort. Humble. Turn to your Bibles, please. James 4:6.
But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
God resists the proud. You know, we need to have some multiple choice questions. We won't play Jeopardy because I give you the answer, you give me the question. We're just going to give you some multiple choices. There are people who say to me, I don't think God's listening to me. I just don't think He is. You said He hears my prayers, but I don't think I feel that close to Him. Now, I won't ask you if you ever feel not close to Him, because then you'll feel bad when I'm done with this. But there are people who sometimes do not feel close to God. They just don't. They feel distanced from Him. They feel distanced from Him. And maybe you know some folks. Maybe you even at times would say to yourself, there are times I just don't feel like this with God. Sometimes I feel like, you know, not even, sometimes I feel this way. I feel this way. And I want to feel this way. Right? All right. Or sometimes it doesn't feel like He really is interested in me. He didn't hear my prayers. A, that's because He's on vacation. He's on vacation and He's taking some time off because He needs the rest. B, He's really not interested in me at all. He's got more important things to do than listen to my whining. C, He needs a hearing aid. D, I'm coming a little prideful. I'm coming a little prideful. If I come a little prideful, what does it say He does? Distances Himself from you. He distances Himself from you. Is that possible? Let's think it through. Let's suppose you have a child. I want. And you say to the child, no. And the child gets a little whine and hissy fit thing going on. And it gets a little tension tantrum thing going on. Right? I'll hold my face, try to turn blue kind of thing. What do you want to do as a person who can give this person the request? Love them to death and hug and kiss them? Or how many of you have ever said this, you better get away from me. You had better get away from me. How many have ever said that at least one time in your life? You better get away from me. I'm warning you. You better get away from me. Right? True? You've said that, right? But yet, let a little baby James, 18-month-old, want a drink box. And always simply said, juice. Juice. Not prideful. Not demanding. Not tenter tantrum kind of thing. But he says to me, juice. Now, I have a hard of hearing. You know that. And this little guy's in a little umbrella stroller. What would I do? I would what? Kneel down. Say, James, what you want, honey? What you want? Tell me one more time. I put my face right in his face. Wouldn't I? Right there. I say, no, this here, James. Wait, what? Oh, juice. You want juice. Same with you. You come as a little child. You come humbled. You come humbled, not demanding anything, not comparing yourself with anybody else. Say, Lord, please, Lord. What does he do? He bends his ear towards you. He says he draws near to those who have a broken heart. He draws near to those who have a contrite spirit. What's contrite spirit mean? Yeah. Repentant? Not stuck on yourself? Going and telling them the real deal that he already knows anyhow? Say, Lord, I just messed up. Lord, I know you hear me, but if I were you, I wouldn't hear me. I wouldn't even listen. I wouldn't take time to listen to me, Lord. I wouldn't even take the time to listen to me. Humble. The two important things so far, and we got like a whole slew more to go. Two real important things about prayer. What is it? You must come in faith, and you must come humble. Who are you to demand anything? Oh, really? Like, who died and left you, boss? Well, by the way, whoever you think died and left you, boss, he's not dead. And you ain't boss. You're not boss. He is. And you come to him seeking in faith with humility. And guess what? You just might get an answer. Come to him lacking faith and prideful. Is he going to listen to you? You might as well go pray to the oak tree in the park. I'm serious. Because you're double-minded. You're full. And all that you do, you will receive what? Nothing. Nothing. Come to him demanding. Come to him telling him how great you are and how much you deserve. Come to him and tell him what a servant you are. Tell him about all the things you do. Go to him and tell him all that stuff. Guess what you're going to get? Nothing. You know why? Because all of the best things you've ever done in your life compared to his majesty and compared to his glory is nothing but a what? Filthy rag. So get over yourself and get on him. Quit comparing ourselves to everybody else in the world. If you want to compare yourself to somebody, who should you compare yourself to? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to even be here. Because, Lord, the truth of the matter is, we could pray like that tax collector. We could all pray that way. Lord, I am not even worthy to be in your presence. Not even worthy. And Lord, my finite mind cannot grasp the reality of a holy God wanting to spend time with the likes of me. I can't even grasp it. It's hard for me to grasp it. But yet I know you do. Well, Father, we thank you so much today for loving people like us. Amazing. But I suppose the grace is amazing. So thank you, Lord, and we do love you. And all of God's people said, could the ushers come?